Grace Curtis is with me in the studio tonight. She joins us from just up the road in Dayton, where she lives and writes and teaches poetry. Her book, The Surly Bonds of Earth, was selected by Stephen Dunn as the winner of the Lettres Sauvages 2010 Poetry Contest. And her work has been published in the Baltimore Review, Scythe Literary Journal, and the Waccamaw Literary Journal. Her latest book of poetry is titled The Shape of a Box and comes to us from those wonderful folks at Dos Madres Press. Grace, I'm so glad you could join us tonight.
Thank you, Barbara. It's nice to be here.
One of the things I loved about your book is that there were poems that seemed to be, I'm going to say, cousins to each other. So I'd like to start with two of them, and then afterwards I want you to tell me if they are relatives in your mind and what the process was of writing them. So let's start with The Thought of Packages Only.
The Thought of Packages Only. I thought of boxes, their tail as no tail, my hands as containers. They push and shove until everything fits into them, then another and another. Someone finds, receives an unexpected package. Candies, fruit, boxes tiered, largest to smallest, bow-tied. It arrives. At that moment, no one wants more than this.
Now, if you would, go to a related poem, and it's titled Trinkets as Containers of Myth.
Trinkets as Containers of Myth. I dreamed bandits found not a diamond ring, but rather a box of trinkets. They tied me to a chair and held each memento before my eyes. If the story was good enough, the item was placed back into the box. If not, it was smashed and burned. One by one, the trinkets were destroyed until I became a better storyteller. Each item became a character, its flaws a place. A map along a lifeline emerged, the trinkets illuminated as personal myth. Some things we keep because we dare not let go, because we're not sure, or because we can spin a damn good story around them.
There are several other poems in the first section of The Shape of a Box that refer to containers, packages, envelopes. And before we went on air tonight, actually, you told me about a completely new process that I was unaware of. So talk about the relationship of these poems and what kind of poetry that is.
All of the poems together, they're basically prose, and those are called a lyric essay. And a lyric essay is kind of a crossbreed between poetry and prose, between poetry and an essay, actually, a personal essay. So they incorporate all the elements of poetry, except for lineation. That's what makes them an essay. And they tend to be more personal than some poetry can be, or even some essays. But they tend to be personal. They tend to incorporate a lot of white space. So each of these paragraphs were almost vignettes of containers, and they incorporate in a nonlinear way various components of my life, my childhood. There's a section on photography and photographs that my father took when we were children. So that's basically the lyric essay is gaining a lot of interest, and there are a lot more practitioners and a lot more people doing that, using that process.
So when you refer to lineation, you're talking about how this looks on the page?
Correct. There are no lines. This is a paragraph. So it's not quite a prose poem. It's more of a personal essay, but incorporating a lot of like leaps, metaphor, kinds of things that a poem incorporates.
Is this an old form that's been around for a while or newer?
I think it's probably been around a long time in various forms. They tend a little bit toward meditations. And so I think throughout history, you probably have had a lot of that kind of meditative prose that is non-narrative, you would say, specifically. So it's probably been around a while, but I think that there has been some new interest. There are a lot more publishers publishing this one, in fact, as an essay was published by the Baltimore Review.
You also teach poetry and you do workshops, and you have an online site called Into Poetry, and that's capital N, the numeral 2, and poetry spelled out. So if you would tell us about this, what kind of focus is poetry in your life?
Poetry is pretty much everything in my life at this point. I retired, I don't really think of it as retiring, but I quit a long-term job in healthcare administration specifically to write poetry. I also work part-time for the Antioch Review out of Yellow Springs. So it's pretty much, I write every day. The blog is a blog about poetry. I don't publish a lot of my poetry on that blog, but I like writing about topics of poetry. So I use that as a place where some of it is kind of a critical essay type look at new books of poetry or at poetry events or just sharing what's happening in my poetry life.
Talk about your actual work with students.
Most of my work with students is there's been a couple different tracks there. I work with a lot of library groups to do workshops. I've done some long-term work with a group in Waynesville, in the Waynesville area, at the Waynesville Library over many years. And that's periodic. I don't do that all the time. Or just a one time, I've done some work at other libraries in Dayton. But this summer, I went to Israel and taught poetry with Arab children, with English as a not a first language for them. And that was really interesting. And I was delightfully surprised at the depth of the poetry they produced in English. And it was just such a wonderful experience.
There are four poems, actually, in the second half of The Shape of a Box that relate to each other, and they're about stories. And I want you to read two of them for us tonight. So let's start with Stories Others Tell of Us.
Stories Others Tell of Us. We take too much to heart, meaning we hold our mother's hearts. We have our father's. The stories never equal to. The words with which we are cradled are reenactments, a vocabulary tattooed into our ears. Stories grow like telephone tales. They fill containers they are given. Some things become accentuated.
So that was Stories Others Tell of Us, and now I'd like you to read Stories We Tell Ourselves.
The Stories We Tell of Ourselves. I treat myself more kindly, having had half a century to reconsider, and being a member of the species doomed to remember that that to which we cling to is also doomed. Some stories cannot be hammered out, are entirely fabricated, have only middles, are all denouement, are tales that thrive on omission, hinge on supporting characters, but more so on ourselves.
Fascinating. So interesting to be with you tonight. Thanks for sharing your poetry and your process with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
I've been talking with Grace Curtis, one of our wonderful Southern Ohio poets, about her latest book, which is titled The Shape of a Box, published by Southern Ohio's Dos Madres Press. You'll find more information about it at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.